Today we continue in our sermon series from the book of Isaiah. We're now in chapter 54. And today we're going to be talking about God's ever-expanding family. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, your word stretches back in history to the very beginning, when you first began to speak to Adam and Eve. We pray that we will not be like them who heard but dismissed, who listened but did not really take in what you were saying to them. Open our hearts as we open our ears, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do you like camping? Well, there you go. I started when I was 4 years old. When my family of six kids and two parents first went out west in the Chevrolet Biscayne. It was a great station wagon. Eight of us in it, and of course, me and my little brother Scott, we were in the back without seatbelts. We started camping, but my dad didn't plan ahead. You see, he purchased a canvas tent, which at the time perfectly fitted us as a family. But you know, older siblings became teenagers and needed more space. So my dad had to buy a bigger tent. The nation of Israel was a bit like my family. They had been camping, if you like, in Babylon for about 70 years. And as exiles in a foreign land, they hadn't grown very much. The tent was quite large enough for them all. In fact, Israel was in fact considered barren, unable to produce more children. But that was soon to change. God was about to bring them back to their homeland, back to a land flowing with milk and honey. He was going to make Israel fruitful again. That's why he tells her in today's passage that it's time to get a new tent. Listen again to Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, barren woman. You who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Put yourselves in Israel's shoes in exile. Imagine hearing these words. God's people felt defeated. They felt without hope. Yet God was saying to them, "You will flourish once again. I will make you flourish. I will be your husband." There was, however, one catch. God would only make them flourish if they learned to walk with him, to cooperate with him. What would they need to do? In what ways would they have to cooperate with God? Well, this is where the metaphor of a tent comes in. See, in verse 2, God tells them, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes." Notice there are four things in this verse that God is saying to the returning exiles. Four things that they themselves must do. First, they must enlarge the place of their tent. Now, what does that mean? It means that as they come back home, they must start to get the infrastructure of Jerusalem and Judea up and running again. And you'll see that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah as they rebuild the temple and fix the city walls, as they begin the service of temple worship once again and begin buying and selling in the marketplace. And of course, this won't be easy, for the fact is that only a few families have initially returned to Jerusalem. Yet God is asking the initial families who've come back, He's asking them to believe in the future. That is, they have to believe that despite the cost that will be attributed only to a few as they rebuild the temple and the city walls, God will eventually fill this city and the temple with worship. God will keep bringing more and more people back until the city is filled with the sounds of life. The initial returners had to believe that all their hard work for the future would not be in vain. And so, my friends, it was a step of great faith. Secondly, they needed to stretch their tent curtains wide. What happens when you stretch your tent curtains wide? It means people can see in. I was just talking to a girl in our 10:30 service who says she lives in a 7th floor apartment, but there's a 10-story building right opposite, and they look into each other's lounge rooms. She said the only saving grace is they have curtains. She doesn't have curtains. The people across the way have curtains. Anyway, if you're going to spread your 10 curtains wide, as it says here, you are saying to the world, take a look. In fact, come on in. You're welcome here. The first inhabitants of Zion, these initial returnees, are being asked to open their homes. Open their homes to the watching world, even to strangers. As they did this, their tent would also expand. Thirdly, they needed to lengthen their cords. What are the tent cords used for? Well, essentially they hold the tent up. As the returning exiles came home and expanded their tent, the cords of the tent would also need to be lengthened. It's a metaphor which speaks of breaking old boundaries and reaching out into new places. Once again, it's about stepping out in faith. And finally, they would also need to strengthen their stakes. It would not be enough for Israel to lengthen her cords. If you're going to really expand your tent, you need to strengthen the tent pegs. Why? Because tent pegs anchor the tent in the ground. You'll notice the bigger the tent, the bigger the tent pegs. Have you ever seen a circus tent being put up? Do you know how long those tent pegs are? They're stub axles, actually, that they use to pound into the ground to hold the tent. Metaphorically speaking, God is telling His returning exiles that they need to be absolutely rooted and grounded, secured in the knowledge of God. Indeed, they need to anchor themselves in the knowledge that God loves all people everywhere. Otherwise, why would you even open the tent curtains at all? So in these four ways, the returning exiles need to cooperate with God by stepping out in faith. They may not be many, but they have a huge task ahead of them for the sake of the future. They need, therefore, to be confident that God is going to expand their tent and eventually fill it with the joy and laughter of an ever-expanding family, the family of God. Now let me stop there and suggest that these words spoken to ancient Israel can also apply to us today. And it's not normal that you just grab an Old Testament passage and say back that it now applies to us. But I do apply it to us because I believe that, like ancient Israel, Jesus is calling us, His people, to expand. The Great Commission is our evidence. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. And in the book of Revelation, we see a vision, do we not, of every nation, race, tribe, and tongue gathering around the throne of the Lamb. Jesus is asking us, we who have come home from our exile in foreign religions and foreign ways of thinking, from our own human rebellion, we who have come home are now called to cooperate with God, to extend that invitation further. God's church, people alienated from God, has now been brought near by the blood of Christ. And in Christ, we are no longer exiles. We are no longer strangers. We are home. We have found our new Jerusalem. In Christ, we are at the Father's side, cooperating with the Father and the Son and the Spirit by reaching out to those still in exile. And I think exile is a pretty good word. If you look at the people around us, they haven't come home yet. They're still looking for something. They're still searching for meaning. They're not settled. They're not restful. And so we have, in a sense, the very four commands that Israel received that we now need to engage in, areas in which we too must cooperate with the living God. First, we must enlarge the place of our tent. You know, if you were here at our AGM on Sunday afternoon, we took some amazing steps of faith. I was very proud of the fact that we agreed as a whole that it's time to improve our infrastructure. David, from this congregation, showed us a plan of expansion, not of incredible buildings, but of just fixing our infrastructure so that it serves us better than it does right now. We don't want to be more comfortable. That's not the reason for improving our infrastructure. It's so that we can welcome more families, more people into the home of God, into His family. And even though the new families around us, as they come, may not yet be here, we must prepare for them in faith that they will come eventually. This is what it means to expand the place of our tent. We must believe by faith that Jesus is calling more and more exiles home into our church family. Second, we, like ancient Israel, are called also to stretch our tent curtains back. Now, it's very easy to fall into the trap of thinking that church and church services are only for believers. It is partially true. This is the place where we're encouraged, where we're built up, where we fellowship with one another as fellow believers. But let me suggest that we also come here for unbelievers. We come together as a testimony to them that Jesus is alive in us. We come together so that they can see us as we arrive, as we leave. The people around us, I bet you, are curious. Why do we come even every Sunday like clockwork? They're curious about what we do, who we are, what we believe. That's why, friends, we need to stretch our tent curtains. We need to open the doors and the windows and show people what goes on here. We need to stretch back the curtains and show them that Jesus is changing us, challenging us, drawing us into new and greater places of fellowship and Christ-likeness. And so often the question we need to ask is, who are we going to invite with us as we draw the tent curtains back and show them who Jesus is, even as we meet on Sundays? Thirdly, as we move through the passage, we need to lengthen our cords. Let me ask you a very simple but rhetorical question. How far does God's love reach? Let me suggest that it only reaches as far as you and I are willing to take it. We say, oh, God's love is universal. Well, you tell the people in Saudi Arabia that. They don't know until we take it to them and demonstrate that very love. For we are the carriers of God's love. We must not get stuck in the same place we are today. We need to lengthen our cords. That is, we need to move beyond our existing self-made boundaries and step out into new places. new ministries, new efforts to reach out to the world around us. Do you know that this year we're going to start Alpha as a Chinese and English outreach? And hopefully you might be involved in that. May our presence extend further and further into the community. We can't just keep the cords the same length as they are today. One important group to reach out to, I believe, is children. Today we're focusing on children's ministry in our 10:30 service, and we're going to hear testimonies from some of our teachers and from some of our parents. I think we're even going to hear from one of our Sunday school kids. The whole idea of reaching out through our Sunday school is, I think, profound. Do you know D.L. Moody once said, "If I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for Christ." Why? Because statistics tell us that 85% of people who come to Jesus do so before the age of 18. Ask yourself, when did you come to Christ? When did you first really sense His love for you? Ministry to children and young adults is critical. And we're starting to see more families coming to our church. And through these families, we can reach other families. At our AGM on Sunday, we agreed that we will step out in faith and employ someone part-time who can lead us in this area. That means we have to increase our budget line by about $21,000 a year. That's what it means to lengthen the cords of our tent. We need to take, by faith, action, stepping out, doing something we haven't yet done before, believing that God is leading us. Finally, fourthly, we need to strengthen our stakes. How do we strengthen the stakes of our tent? Well, as you know, Ison and I spend a lot of time preparing sermons. This, we believe, is the way we strengthen our stakes, through hearing of God's Word and explaining God's Word, so that you are strengthened in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say, that's not enough. You can't just come on a Sunday and get a dose of a bit more spiritual nurture. You and I need to keep encountering God throughout the week. Your personal walk with Jesus is incredibly important. You need to keep nurturing the Spirit who lives inside of you. That's what it means to strengthen your stakes. Many of you are in small groups. Why? Because you see the need to strengthen your stakes through fellowship and praying together. There's been a query if we would have a daytime Bible study. Now, many of you are at that place where you don't want to come out at night. Well, why not? Let's start a Bible study in the day. Let's do more to strengthen our stakes. We have switched to a new Sunday school curriculum called Godly Play. Why did we switch? Because we want to strengthen the stakes of our children. Not through more knowledge, head knowledge of God, but through experience of God. Godly play is the way that children interact with the stories of Jesus and begin to take it on for themselves. As George Barna says, Barna is he takes sondage, questionnaires. He does surveys of churches. And he says this: in the race to a child's heart, the first one there wins. How important it is to be the first at a child's heart, to draw them into an encounter with God. Not only will their stakes be strengthened, but over time they will move to baptism, and from baptism continue on in their faith right into adulthood. They will also have an influence on their parents. Someone once said, when you take a child by the hand, you take a parent by the heart. And that is so true in the Chinese culture. We minister a lot amongst the Chinese in this neighborhood, and that is a very important strategy, that we reach out to children, that we might not only bring the children into the kingdom, but see their parents come as well. Now, there's a lot that I've talked about this morning as I've sketched out this vision of the church from Isaiah 54. If you are in any way skeptical or maybe even worried about the direction that we as a parish are taking, maybe you're unsure that we should be spending $21,000 on another person, or maybe you're worried about the building of or the fixing of our buildings and our infrastructure. If you're unsure about the steps of faith that we are outlining, believing that God is calling us to, then I want you to listen quietly to the rest of today's passage. I want you to listen with your heart. Yes, it was written for people thousands of years ago. That is true. But doesn't God's word speak to us today? The same word that Isaiah uttered to the exiles returning from Babylon, could they not apply to us today? This, I believe, is what God is saying to us. The words are on the screen. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you for our AGM last week and for the steps of faith that we have made. Would you rally our hearts as one, that we might not draw back from the vision that you have given to us, this vision of a tent expanding and enlarging, with cords and stakes being driven further and further afield. May you give us a vision of tent curtains spread open so that the neighborhood can see, that the world might know that you are alive in our midst. Lord, make us a light to the nations. Give us an opportunity to reach out to our neighbors. And may you shine your glory so that this place will be filled with the laughter of your children. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.